SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
We are live right here on Football Full Circle. It is FFC, all a part of the Sports Grid Radio Network and Sirius XM Channel 159. He is Scott Wetzel. I am Ben Stevens. And Scott, football is here. Training camp is here in the National Football League. On Tuesday, eight teams sent their rookies to start reporting to camp. Today, Scott, we have even more, including some veterans, namely the New York Jets. Aaron Rodgers has showed up for his first training camp as a member of the New York Jets. Scott, it is football, it is here, and we are getting ready for 2023.
Yeah, I got to tell you, Ben, you know, the Hard Knocks thing for me, you know, the first few years it was fun, it was interesting. Then after a while, you get the sense, you're really not getting that much, right? A little something if it happens to be your team you watch, right? But after a few years, it gets old pretty quickly for me. But this year, with the Jets being part of Hard Knocks and then being there, Aaron Rodgers being there, I am curious to see what goes on behind the scenes, his relationship with the coaches and the players and the media in particular. It's just one of the things that we were looking forward to, the start of the football season. Yep, and we're not even in August. And it is amazing how much football, Ben, just takes over, right? I mean, there's not a lot going on, don't get me wrong. But, you know, we have some things in the NBA. We've got some issues, obviously, with baseball. And yet football is here, and it just takes over the center stage immediately.
It certainly does take over center stage in those cameras, Scott, for HBO's Hard Knocks as it details the New York Jets getting ready for 2023. Those are going to start rolling today. It is a very, very exciting time in the NFL because, again, we had eight teams send their rookies to camp yesterday. A few more, like the Browns, the Broncos, the Lions, they send their rookies to camp today. But the New York Jets are the first team to have their veterans report that starts today. The next team, Scott, really to send their team or their veterans, excuse me, to training camp, it's the Cleveland Browns on July 21st. That is what we have here moving forward because when you think about preseason and the preseason game, of course, it all begins with the Hall of Fame game on August 3rd. It is the Jets and the Browns with Cleveland a slight point and a half favorite, the total at 33.5. Scott, that's just over 2 weeks away. It's the reason why we have the veterans show going up for the Jets and the Browns early and often. It's fun to see, Scott, as we indoctrinate this new 2023 NFL season, even a preseason line available for the Hall of Fame game in Canton.
That is amazing, right? Having a preseason game. We don't know who's playing, when they're playing, why they're playing, but let's put a line out there just the same. And that game will be bet like you've never seen before. I don't doubt that for a second. Been to the Hall of Fame a couple times. Haven't been to a Hall of Fame game. In fact, the last year we went was the 1 year that they didn't play the game. But it's a bucket list thing for a lot of people to do. A lot of fun. Not over the top, great, but it is pretty cool in Canton, Ohio. Wouldn't be hanging out in Canton too long, though, I must say. But the Hall of Fame is a beautiful place.
A beautiful place and a beautiful start to a season. No doubt about it. The fever for football continues to grow. Now, Scott, as we focus on the New York Jets, of course, Aaron Rodgers in camp today. Plenty of the veterans in camp will join him. They have already, as the Jets social media team, shared out Aaron Rodgers in his full new uniform. Now, Scott, we've talked at length this offseason and now getting ready for the preseason and training camp about the New York Jets. They've been the storyline of the National Football League really since the league year wrapped up in the middle of February, but certainly since the middle of March when Aaron Rodgers made his intention clear he wanted to play for the Jets. Their win total is 9.5, Scott. The over has the slight juice at -122. I know you don't think all that favorably of New York this season, so I wanted to go to the alternate win totals and try to see where you would place your best bet by hovering in the range, Scott, of about two wins or so to either side. Maybe maybe fading the Jets completely, going under something potentially like 7.5 wins, or if you think maybe there could be somebody out there that looks at the over of 11.5 and says, yes, that's the way of the New York Jets. So, Scott, to go under 7.5 wins for the Jets this year, plus 250. Under 8.5 is plus 155. Over 10.5 is plus 150. Over 11.5 is plus 260. Scott, of the alternate universe here for the New York Jets in terms of a win or two here and there, either which side of the regular win total of 9.5, which one is your favorite bet?
Boy, I can see that under 7.5 at plus 250 cashing. That's the one. Boy, they're giving you a real good number. 7-10 is not a horrible, horrible season, right? Especially if you're a Jet fan. Forget about the expectations, but just going in, knowing their history recently, you know, 7-10 is still a problem. You know, a decent year, find ways to get some wins, but you just don't get over the hump and you lose a couple of games. Kind of like last year when they lost the last six games, you know, off to a terrific start, but then just to kind of fell apart. I can see plus 250 with that. I think that's a pretty good number. I don't know if they're going to go 6-11 for plus 460, but I can definitely see a 7-10 season. That's a nice little number to cash.
They were 7-10 a season ago, as Scott mentioned. They lost their final six games of the regular season, but that is going to be, Scott, like you mentioned, for Jets fans in general, okay, maybe it's not a disastrous year. If Aaron Rodgers and his Jets-led team goes 7-10, then I think it would be panic button disaster time for Gang Green. The under of their regular win total for 2023 at 9.5 is not necessarily plus money, it's even money at plus 100. We'll continue the training camp conversation here on FFC next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
We are back live right here on FFC. It's Football Full Circle, a part of the Sports Grid Radio Network. Training camp conversations all around the day on FFC as the first veterans have reported to camp. In fact, a 19-year now NFL veteran, Aaron Rodgers, in his first training camp, Scott Wetzel, with the New York Jets. He is there today. Quinnen Williams should be there after signing the long-term contract extension last week. Breece Hall is there. They are hoping for the sensational rookie a season ago who had his opening year in the NFL cut short due to injury to bounce back this year in 2023. So, Scott, throughout the next week, really up until July 25th, that's when most teams around the National Football League have their final day for players to report. A good majority of the league shows up to camp with their veterans on July 25th. Only the Steelers, Scott, show up to camp on July 26th. So that means in the next week, we're going to have all 32 NFL teams officially reporting for training camp. Scott, what I find interesting then is what those noted absences are going to look like. A day after the running back conversation and the inflection point in the National Football League, perhaps, we have a conversation about another big-time contributor to his team, maybe not showing up for training camp as a part of a contract dispute. The offensive guard, Scott, one of the staples of the Cowboys' offensive line for all 9 years of his NFL career in Dallas, Zach Martin, is now said to be frustrated because he feels as though he is incredibly underpaid based on market value for being the best guard in the National Football League, has threatened to potentially sit out training camp if a new deal is not restructured. Scott, when you think about staples of offensive consistency, Zach Martin is that along the O-line for Dallas. And now, Scott, a real chance, it seems, Zach Martin might not be there for the start of Cowboys training camp in just under a week.
Yeah, you know, if this time of the year signifies anything aside from just showing up for training camp, it's not showing up for training camp. This is when you have your holdout. This is when you have your threats of I'm not playing, I'm not doing this, I'm not doing that. Really, ultimately, though, Ben, you know, these players don't have a leg to stand on. They really don't. I mean, you have a contract. Yep. It's set for this year. Yep. You're being paid. Yep. pretty decent money, too. Yep. Maybe not the top of the rung. You know, maybe you're being underpaid, but it's a contract you signed and you're under contract and we don't have to negotiate it. So are you going to sit out? I suppose the threat is always there, but these guys don't sit out. You know, they don't miss paycheck. They just don't. Now, they may miss time in July because who really wants to show up in July and sweat and do all the things knowing, you know, our next game isn't until a month and a half, 2 months from now, literally, right? So at least a month and a half anyway, between a month and a half and 2 months. Let me say I'm not happy. Let me say I want a new contract. Maybe they give me a new one. Who knows? But worst comes to worst, I miss a couple of weeks of training camp. Not the end of the world when you're in your 30s and you really don't need to be running around like an idiot in the middle of July when it's 100 degrees outside. So I don't put a lot of credence, long story short, into these things. You can want things, you know, and you can ask for things, but until you miss a paycheck, then I'll buy how serious you are. Same thing with Saquon Barkley, same thing with Josh Jacobs, all of them. But Zach Martin as well with the Cowboys.
It is notable when you see an offensive lineman sit out, though, Scott, especially a guy that has been as consistent as Zach Martin. Zach Martin has been in the National Football League for 9 seasons. He has spent all 9 years with the Dallas Cowboys. He was a full 16-game starter in his rookie year. Scott, looking up his stats on Sports Reference right now, when do you think the last time an offensive lineman finished runner-up for Offensive Rookie of the Year was? That's what Zach Martin did back in 2014, the second most votes for Offensive Rookie of the Year as a guard, not even a tackle. But that is what Zach Martin has meant to this Dallas team. Started and played in all 17 games last year in AP first team selection, something he has done 5 years in his career out of 9 that he has played. Make that 6 because he also did it his rookie campaign as well. Scott, he has been so good for this team. He has played at least 16 games, 7 of the 9 years he has spent with the Cowboys. And you're right, he agreed to a contract. He has a contract that he is employed by with this Dallas organization. But I think, Scott, Zach Martin does have a little bit of an advantage here in terms of restructuring the deal. Because you're right, maybe he's not the high end. But if there's any guard that is going to be the top paid guard of the National Football League, it would be Zach Martin. And that's where I think his negotiating and bargaining wiggle room really stems from. Because before we got this report earlier today, Scott, a big thing people like to do at this time of the year is share the Madden ratings for individual players around the National Football League. I always find it funny, like it's some credence, but maybe it is as I'm bringing it up here. Zach Martin was rated a 99 in Madden. It is the first time an offensive guard has been rated a 99 in the game since the early 2000s in the longtime staple, Larry Allen. He is the best, Scott, by far in the National Football League. So if he is being paid under what the top guard is making, or the top 3 guards or interior offensive linemen are making, that maybe Zach Martin does have a gripe, at least to have Dallas back at the negotiating table to try to restructure his deal to give him some more money.
Yeah, listen, I'm not saying he doesn't have a gripe. All I'm saying is if you're the Cowboys and you don't want to play ball, you don't have to. You know, it's kind of like Barkley with this deadline and Jacobs with this deadline that they were supposed to sign the contracts on Monday, right? Okay, you have this deadline and you don't sign. So now the Giants and Raiders, in the case of those two guys, they can't. They could have a 180-degree change of thought. Like, you're the greatest running back in the history of the New York Giants and Las Vegas Raiders. We want to give you $15 million a year. Well, we just can't. So they created a deadline, and they can't do anything about it now. And it kind of looked like with Dallas, they could just say, listen, our salary cap is set. You know, we could have done something maybe, you know, a couple of years ago or maybe even a couple of months ago. But, gee, we got Dak Prescott making $45 million a year. You know, I always go back to the quarterback, Ben. You know, I know it's not his fault per se, but when these teams give out these ridiculous contracts to quarterbacks, someone's got to pay the piper, and that's everybody else. And you're talking about a Hall of Famer. He's only missed 8 games his entire career, Zach Martin. Been to Pro Bowl with 5-6 times. You know, borderline Hall of Fame at worst, right?
Already,
but,
yeah.
can't do it. Unless we give you a whole new contract, which then they could, you know, offset some of the salary cap issues, which they could do, but they don't have to. Just like the Giants now don't have to, and the Raiders don't have to. So unless you're going to go out of your way to appease a player, you know, you could work on the team's sympathy and show you what I've done for you, this, that, and what have you. But ultimately, I don't have to do it, so I probably won't.
And that's a really good point, Scott, right? It's like you're trying to prove your value to your team, who should be the first to recognize that. But they're also engaged in the business aspect of what it means overall, not just for you as an individual, but the entirety of the club. So if they make concessions for you, regardless if you are deserving of them or not, it comes from somewhere else, right? It is that idea that Zach Martin is absolutely deserving of being the top paid interior offensive lineman in the National Football League. But do the Cowboys have the ability to make that happen with the rest of the bankroll and the payroll that they have, right? Saquon Barkley's gripe with the New York Giants is like, hey, I was a second overall pick for you guys 5 years ago. I have done everything for this team. I have come back from injury. I am the main reason, not even so much Daniel Jones, that we got to the postseason last year and won a playoff game. And yet you can't give me $12 million a year and you franchise tag me? And they're probably saying, Saquon, it's just the business of it all. But it's the idea of what they think the players believe, and maybe they are entitled to it or not, what they are owed from their organization for the value they provide on the football field. But the value within the white lines is different from the value out of it when it comes to the business idea of what we have available. There will be plenty more around our training camp conversation, the players that are there and the players that might not be, up next here on Football Full Circle on Sports Grid Radio.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
We are back live right here on Football Full Circle. So the New York Jets, Scott, have shown up to training camp. Aaron Rodgers is there, getting primed for year 19 in the National Football League, but his first season with the New York Jets. We'll see how active Aaron Rodgers is at training camp, and we'll get to see a behind-the-curtains look at it, of course, throughout HBO's Hard Knocks. Scott, we talked about Zach Martin and the idea that maybe he misses some time at training camp as he tries to work with the Dallas Cowboys about restructuring his deal. Zach Martin has proved he is the best interior offensive lineman, offensive guard in the National Football League. And Scott, then the next question becomes, as teams start showing up to training camp in the next week, we have rookies reporting, the Jets are the first team to add their veterans into the equation. Might we see some familiar faces not there, which is the notable part of the conversation? And Scott, as we focus on the greater New York, New Jersey area, of course, the New York Giants report to camp next Tuesday, July 25th. Scott, when the Giants show up to camp in 6 days, do you think Saquon Barkley is there?
That's a good question. Back to Martin for a second, and I'll go back to Barkley. One last thing with Martin. You know, he did the worst thing that athletes can do, and this is where the agent really suffers the blame. You know, I go to Spotrac, which is a pretty good website. They have all the details on all the contracts, right? So I know the fan or the four-letter network is saying a seven-year deal, but Spotrac says he signed a six-year deal, $84 million, Ben. $20 million signing bonus, $40 million guaranteed. Well, one, nobody should be signing a six-year contract in the NFL, because six years is a long time in the NFL. Things change, right? The salary cap structure, you got to know that 6 years from now, things are going to change. But anyway, but he got a lot of money up front. So he got most of his money up front, or a portion of it, but they backloaded the salary cap hit. So while he may only be making $6 million this year, it actually averages out to be $14 million. And I got a feeling that's what the Cowboys are going to be saying. Like, well, wait a minute now. We're only going to pay you $6 million this year, but don't forget about the $20 million we gave you on top of your contract in year number one. You know, you're forgetting about that, Zach, but we're not. We paid you that. We're paying you $14 million a year, which puts him in the top five for guards being paid in the NFL. So, and they would, his cap hit this year, not too bad, $11 million, but next year, $23 million. And that's what I mean by they backloaded the salary cap hit, even though they front loaded when they were giving him the money. And that's a deadly combination. And that really, you know, they would have to go out of their way to really restructure that and give him more years. So he's in a little bit of trouble, even for, forget about this year, next year, when that $23 million is going to be on the books. That's a lot of cap hit for a guard. But as far as Barkley goes, it's like I said before, the NFL Players Association, they agreed to this goofy deadline where all they agreed to was really negotiate against themselves, because the Giants and Raiders both, the management could turn around and say 180 degrees, oh, you guys are the greatest things in the world, and you know what? I don't know what we were thinking. We want to give you, forget $10 million, we want to give you $20 million a year guaranteed, and they can't do it because the deadline to sign was Monday. So now all the running back has is, I don't show up if I don't want to show up. The team can't do anything to appease them money-wise. Now it's just a matter of, will the guys show up or not? They could miss training camp. They could miss 9 games. They don't have to show up until week 10 in order for this year to actually count. But you won't be getting paid for the first 9 weeks. And let me see these running backs, you know, who want more money, give up 9 weeks of paychecks. I don't think it's going to happen. But I could see these guys not showing up, just like Zach Martin. Hey, what am I going to do? We're going to bust my you-know-whats in July when I know I'm not going to get paid the money I want to, when I don't really have to. So I wouldn't make a whole lot of them not showing up. I don't think they will, though.
And Zach Martin not under the franchise tag, right, Scott? He is under contract with the Dallas Cowboys.
He's under contract.
That's the difference.
Yeah.
And that's really the difference, right? The reason the arbitrary deadline on Monday is so important, because if you are placed under the franchise tag tender, that was your time to agree to a long-term contract extension, or the decision now for Saquon Barkley, Josh Jacobs. Are they going to be in camp? Are they going to sign the tender and play this year? It's not, do they have more wiggle room to renegotiate a long-term extension? That's going to happen next offseason now. It's just the decision, all right, do we want to help this football team win games? Do I think I need to provide the value for them if they have not shown me in their minds the value reciprocated in terms of the dollar signs? I think it will be very interesting, Scott, to watch this play out. I do not know if we see Josh Jacobs or Saquon Barkley when training camp begins. They're veterans in the game now, right? They have been around for at least 4 to 5 seasons in the National Football League. There's not really a need for them to show up to go through camp, at least early on. You would want them to get their sea legs before the season really begins, but in the next few days, Scott, next Tuesday when the Giants show up and the Raiders are scheduled to report on July 25th as well, the same day, 6 days from now, I'm not entirely sure. And Scott, I think you brought up a great point right there, and it goes back to the running back conversation that's been the overall theme really this week in the National Football League, the length of contracts. Zach Martin signing a 6-year deal. Oh boy, that's as bad as it gets. Even Patrick Mahomes, that signed a 10-year deal with the Kansas City Chiefs at the quarterback position, did have some legalese in there that allowed the deal to be restructured, which he did this offseason. When you tie yourself, yes, it's great to have the long-term security with a team. It's great to be front-loaded, although it might seem a little bit different now at the end of that deal. You want to make sure that you are keeping up with the market rate, Scott, right? Because even Patrick Mahomes signing that deal with the Chiefs 2 years ago, at the time it was historic type figures, he's going to get passed by Justin Herbert, by Joe Burrow. He's already been passed in annual average salary by Lamar Jackson and Jalen Hurts. And that's Patrick Mahomes we're talking about, who I don't think anybody would have an argument with, Scott, that Patrick Mahomes should be the top paid quarterback in the National Football League. The market value is always going to increase, and that's where Zach Martin has done himself in. But the length of contract, Scott, is a good parallel you could make to the running backs, because the reason they're in this situation, especially if they are under a rookie deal, is they're not allowed to hit the open market for 3 to 4 years into their National Football League career. For guys like Saquon Barkley, who was the second overall pick, they're not able to hit the open market until after year 5 if the team determines they want to keep them in-house.
Yeah, it really, we talked about this. It's crazy, Ben, you know, and the thought of the Giants and Raiders, you know, folding cards, if you will, and signing these guys to long-term contracts. Again, there's just no reason to do it because, all right, they're going to make $10 million this year. If they franchise, they could franchise them again next year, and they're only going to make $12 million. And you could franchise a guy three times. Now, the third time, it's a 44% raise. But even that would only be about $17 million, which is a lot for a running back. But it's not quarterback money. We're not talking about $20, $30 million. So, again, if you take the figure out of it and you take all the things that they mean to the franchise out of the equation and just do a business standpoint, your agent is going to say sign long-term. But the team is going to say, well, wait a minute now. We don't have to because we're paying you $10 million this year. We could franchise you again next year and pay you only $12 million. So that's not too bad. So we have your control really for the next 2 years without really busting the bank here. And even the third year, if we really wanted to, we could do it. So there's just no the running back is screwed. You can kind of go over all the number, this, that. But the bottom technical term is the running back position. You're screwed because they can franchise you twice without really costing the team that much money. So why right. risk injury, especially in the case of a Barkley who's been injured basically every single year he's been in the NFL? Why would you guarantee him, you know, 2 or 3 years like I'm sure he's asking for? It doesn't make financial sense. It just doesn't.
And that's the thing, Scott. They're probably saying the New York Giants, and I think Saquon would probably even admit it, hey, we're paying you $10 million this year, a little bit north of that. The last time a running back successfully in the offseason negotiated a long-term contract extension and deal for north of $10 million was Nick Chubb with the Cleveland Browns back in 2021, but over 2 years ago at this point. For the Giants, there is no benefit. I think the Giants, Scott, as we have said multiple times, I think the New York Giants would look at Saquon Barkley and his representation in a meeting room today and say, Saquon, you are worth every penny of $15 million this year. However, it's not about this year. It's about the year following, in the year following, in the year after that as well. That could be a 3 to 4 year contract extension. We'll pay you up front, but we don't want to be on the books by the time you're 28 or 29 years old. Yeah, I know it sounds crazy, but Scott, for these running backs to capitalize on the prime of their careers, something needs to change in their rookie deals. Even guys like Isaiah Pacheco, for instance, who a lot of people point to because when you think about finding value at the running back spot, he was a 7th-round draft pick out of Rutgers. He was a rookie this past year for the Kansas City Chiefs that became the team's leading rusher by the end of the year and was integral in their offense on that run, of course, to a Lombardi trophy. Even for a guy like that, Scott, a 7th-round draft pick on day number 3, right before the draft wraps up, he's under a rookie deal for 3 years, and if at the end of the 3 years he's still good for the Chiefs, they're going to franchise tag him. And Isaiah Pacheco was a old rookie. He was 24, is 24 this year. There's a potential, Scott. He doesn't hit the open market or even have the possibility of doing so until he's 28, 29 years old. And at that point, listen, the National Football League isn't going to take a shot on a running back that old.
No, they just won't. They just won't. The running back position, screwed. I'm telling you, next negotiation, they should say we should become a free agent after 3 years, not 5 if we're drafted in the first round.
And it would be a great idea, and then you have the collectively bargained agreement that would make it pretty tough for a specific position for a football team. We'll go to college next. Nick Saban is at the mic for SEC Media Days. We'll talk about the Tide here next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
We are back on FFC. It is Football Full Circle. We are back. Sorry, a technical difficulty there. We are back live right here on FFC. Just making sure. Scott, you got me? I think my mic
just got you
for a second there. Okay. Quick,
nope, you're
on
good.
My
you're
feet
good.
Right there. We got to be ready to go. Football season is right around the corner. And Scott, we're back on Football Full Circle on Sirius XM, channel 159. And SEC Media Days is back in Nashville for a third straight day. Today, Scott, of course, is notable because Nick Saban is at the podium the head coach of the Alabama Crimson Tide. And Scott, 2 years is a long time if you're Alabama in terms of not winning a national championship. Of course, they made it to the CFP title game 2 years ago in 2021 before coming up short against Georgia and Nick's former assistant head coach, Kirby Smart. Last year, they missed the entirety of the college football playoffs, Scott, after suffering two losses by 3 points against Tennessee, by a single point in overtime against LSU. Both of them on the road, Scott, but when you're Alabama, when you are college football looking for a spot in the CFP, there is very little room for error. And Scott, Nick Saban has made a little bit of headlines throughout the offseason, certainly in the buildup to the college football playoff a season ago, in terms of politicking and the idea that Alabama would have been booked as a favorite in every one of those games against 3 out of the 4 opponents not named Georgia in the college football playoff, clearly showing they're one of the 4 best teams in the country. Well, when Saban was asked about the idea of last year's struggles and paying it forward to 2023, he said this today, Scott, at the mic, quote, "I never look back at the past, only the future. I'm always looking for a better way. What can we do to be better? That's the challenge we have with every team." Scott, what is your expectation for the Crimson Tide entering this new college football season?
You know, it's tough without the quarterback position. But again, you know, probably like with Georgia, whoever ends up winning that thing is obviously a very, very good quarterback. But that yeah. said, you know, it's not easy coming in first year. I don't care how great you are. You know, some guys can do it. We've seen that. But, you know, to expect the quarterback to be able to win the big games, yeah, they'll probably be able to beat Vanderbilt and some of the lesser lights in the conference. But would they really be championship caliber? That's the thing. I got faith in Nicky Quick. I do. Don't necessarily root for him, mind you, as a Dolphin fan, since he really left us high and dry. But I do have faith in him, and I think I'm ready to say right now, Ben, that someone is beating Georgia this year. I think Georgia is going to have a couple of losses. I think there's going to be a little role reversal. I think Alabama's going to be back on top. Georgia's going to be the one that's going to have, you know, not a disastrous season, but a couple losses, a couple of distractions, too many issues off the field for me for this Georgia team. There's only been one team in the history of college football that has ever won 3 straight championships. I mean, that's a lot of history to buck to think that they're going to win it again. So I'm expecting Alabama, though, to be back. They have the chip on their shoulder now this year, and I think that'll carry them.
Scott, we've always talked about perceived value, right? We were talking about it in the contracts for Zach Martin and the running backs like Saquon Barkley and Josh Jacobs. Now we tie it in to the odds. What is perceived value? Well, a lot of people would say, if I got a team at 50-1 and they end up doing whatever it is I bet on them to do, oh, that's a payday. I'm taking the family out to a nice steak dinner. Or there's people, Scott, that would look at a -110 price and say, it's almost a guaranteed certainty. This thing is going to happen. That's great value. Well, Scott, when you think of perceived value on the Crimson Tide, with the second best number to win a national championship, it's not necessarily the longest shot on the board, of course, but is it value? Because Alabama is 6-1 to win the college football playoff national championship. Joe Lisi made the point yesterday, Scott, when we were discussing SEC media days, and is Alabama being slightly overlooked, as weird as that sounds to say, entering 2023? When's the last time you remember a +600 number in the preseason on the Alabama Crimson Tide? Yeah, it's still the second best in all the 133 teams that will play FBS college football this year, only behind Georgia, who has a short number at +220, but is 6-1, Scott, in your mind, value on Alabama?
I think it is. You know, my definition of value is, will that number change, you know, towards the end of the year? Maybe not obviously the championship, but towards the end of the year. And I think the answer is yes. I think that 6-1 now is value because it'll probably be 3.5-1 when we're a month into the season and they've beaten up on Middle Tennessee and they've beaten the snot out of South Florida. They've handled Texas. I mean, that's a legitimate game.
That's a big one.
And they've won Ole Miss. So that they could be 4-0 and all of a sudden, you know, they're winning these games 50-10 and like, wow, we got this team at 6-1. So, yeah, I do think they're, you know, I don't think they're being overlooked, but as far as value goes, yeah, you know, the two monsters they have, they don't play Georgia this year. The two monsters they have on their schedule, Tennessee and LSU, both at home this year. You know, Texas A&M, I don't know if you could consider them a monster. They give them fits, but, you know, Auburn on the road technically, but, you know, Alabama, Auburn, there's 50-50 fans there. I don't know who cares where they're playing that game. It'll be war. So schedule said, as much as we make fun of Georgia's schedule, Alabama's schedule, although they have the two bigger teams, I think suit up Alabama better than the Georgia schedule, believe it or not.
Yeah, and I made fun of Nick Saban. I will make fun of Nick Saban for the idea that he was politicking based on favored spreads of why Alabama should be in the college football playoff national champion or the college football playoff just in its own right. But I don't think you could look at last year's Crimson Tide team, Scott, with how much talent they had and the reigning Heisman winner in Bryce Young and the fact their two losses were by 4 points combined on the road against Tennessee and LSU, the champions of the SEC West, and LSU, and a Tennessee team that finished the year ranked in the top 10. And had it not been for a Hendon Hooker injury, maybe would have been a college football playoff team. I don't think you can knock Nick Saban or the Crimson Tide last year and say, what a disastrous year. That team sucked. No, they were anything but sucking. And the two games, Scott, they lost by a total of 4 points on the road. Will they get those two very same opponents at home this year? But I think the question then becomes, what is this version of this Alabama team? Because, Scott, we've made the point here. When it comes to the quarterback competition in Tuscaloosa and the changes offensively for Alabama, a new OC, Tommy Reese, was hired over this offseason, rather surprisingly, from Notre Dame and South Bend. He's now the new OC in Tuscaloosa. Nick Saban on Tommy Reese today said, quote, one of the brightest young guys I've seen in a long time in this business. Well, Tommy Reese is now going to coordinate an offense where we're not entirely sure who the quarterback is going to be. And Nick Saban even further said today, Scott, at SEC Media Days in Nashville, none of the quarterbacks have really separated themselves at this moment. The three-horse race, Jalen Milroe, Ty Simpson, Tyler Buchner, the transfer from Notre Dame that obviously has the familiarity with Tommy Reese. The win total, Scott, for Alabama is 10.5. And the under has the heavy juice at minus 185. Why is that significant? Well, we have never seen, now in the nine-year history of the college football playoff, a two-loss team, including Alabama last year, a two-loss team make the CFP. So, Scott, the margin of error is so slim in college football, certainly for a team like Alabama that does have the benefit of playing LSU and Tennessee at home, that does not have Georgia on the regular season schedule, but potentially a matchup in that SEC title game, but a difficult non-conference test week number two at home against a Texas team that a lot is expected of. There is little margin for error, Scott, and that's why when you see minus 184, the heavy juice to the under of a win total at 10.5, there is cause for concern about Alabama even reaching the college football playoff.
Yeah, I would bet the over on that, even though I'm not keen on betting. You know, the team's got to go 11-1, right? But, you know, and to Nicky Quick's little thinking there last year about them being favorites, listen, they're going to be favorites in every single game this year, you know, barring something crazy, as long as they continue to win, because they have those two monster games at home, Tennessee and LSU. So, you know, it would be something crazy for them to be home underdogs. I don't think they've ever been home underdogs with Saban there, at least not recently anyway. So, could I see them, going undefeated or 11-1 versus 10-2? You know, the key would be Texas. The one thing about betting the over, you know, knowing that you're getting plus money because the under is juice, you could always hedge, you know, and I'm a little bit of a hedger. Might be difficult to do because those games are in weeks, 8 and 9, so you got plenty of football left, but they're going to be favored in every single game.
Yeah.
So because of that, you know, you could hedge against them if you really wanted to. But I would go with the over 10.5, and I do think they're going to reach the Final Four again. I have faith in him. Schedule really isn't that daunting, you know.
Yep.
I know Texas nearly beat them last year. I get that, but that was one of the worst games I've seen Alabama play under Nicky Quick. I think they'll beat them a little easier this year. It's those two games. You know, there's no South Carolina. You know, there's no great Spencer Rattler quarterback that might, you know, go off. Johnny Manziel type and you know, put 50 points on the board. So they're playing a bunch of teams that are decent, but as long as they can get by those two, then they should be home sailing for the postseason.
Yeah, Scott, Alabama was at least a touchdown favorite in every single one of their games last year. They ended up being an 8.5-point favorite on the road in Knoxville on Rocky Top against Tennessee, despite the fact the Volunteers were 71% of the ticket or the handle or whatever it was. Like, Tennessee was one of the most bet teams, and yet the line still stayed north of a touchdown in favor of Alabama. Scott, the last time Alabama was an underdog was in 2021 in the two games they played against Georgia. Less than a field goal underdog in the national championship game. Georgia ended up obviously winning and covering. They were a field goal underdog, and they won outright by 3 scores in the SEC championship game. So 2 times against Georgia, Scott, in the 2021 season. Prior to that, the last time Alabama was an underdog, way back in October of 2015 against a Georgia team on the road in Athens, when UGA was the higher ranked club in that matchup, 8-13, and Alabama won outright. So Alabama is going to be at least probably, Scott, a touchdown favorite in every game this year. They're only a touchdown favorite, rather surprisingly, in my estimation, against Texas week 2 in Tuscaloosa. It should show you the gap, Scott, at least in perceived expectation for these two, because with Bryce Young last year, the Crimson Tide were nearly a 3-touchdown favorite in Austin week 2. Now, this year, without Bryce Young and Quinn Ewers having one of the 5 best Heisman prices entering the season for the Longhorns and the questions at quarterback for Alabama, Texas is only a touchdown underdog on the road in Tuscaloosa. That's a 2-touchdown disparity, Scott, and it's not like this game is in Austin and last year was in Tuscaloosa. It's the reverse of that idea. This game is in Tuscaloosa, and last year it was in Austin, Texas.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's just amazing with this Alabama team. They could lose, them and Georgia at this point, they could lose every single starter. Legitimately, they could lose every single starter, but their programs are so solid now that the perception is they're still that much better than everybody else. And especially in the case of Georgia, you know, when they're only +220 and the next team is +6-1.
Yeah. It's crazy, Scott. When you look at Georgia's schedule that Kirby talked about yesterday, you think it's easy, come play it. A lot of teams would sign up for Georgia's schedule. Their win total is the highest in college football. It's 11.5. The under has to have the juice because it's -142. For Georgia to go undefeated this year, it's +116. But that is the margin of error. There is none in college football. A few more thoughts from SEC Media Days up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Just a few more minutes left right here on Football Full Circle. Scott, some final thoughts from SEC Media Days, because Nick Saban was at the mic today getting ready for Alabama's 2023 college football season. We've talked about the Tide, what the expectation always is in Tuscaloosa, and the slim, if any, margin of error for 2023. But Scott, Nick Saban at times shows a little bit of humor, shows a little bit of personality in the way that he approaches meeting with the media. And Scott, Nick Saban today was asked what his favorite cake is, his favorite all-time cake, and he answered rather quickly, pretty swiftly, and what he said easily, there wasn't even a contest. It's carrot cake. Scott, what do you make of Nick Saban's taste in cake?
Carrot cake, huh? All right. I actually like carrot cake, to tell you the truth. I'm more a pie guy, to tell you the truth. I love pies. Cherry pie. Apple pie, blueberry pie, peach pie. I'm more a pie guy, but I would probably have said ice cream cake, though. And that's, you know, having 3 kids. It's still close enough where it's the ice cream cake that we have every birthday, not the regular cake. So, yeah, he's a strange dude, right? I mean, he could show some personality, then he could show he could be an orny SOB. It all depends, you know. He's got a little bipolar in him, I am sure, you know. 1 week, Ben, he's saying the media says we're the greatest things in the world and we're not. The next week, he's upset because the media says the opposing team has a chance to win. You don't know where he's coming from sometimes. So little carrot cake, I suppose that's fitting for Nicky Quick.
Yeah, I don't know what his mental condition is, Scott. I just know that when he's not necessarily needing to dive into a game plan, he probably shows a little bit more personality. He did mention that he and his wife, wife Terry as she is known, they went to Italy this summer, and they were touring these sites, and as Saban said, for people that didn't even speak English, they were hitting them with Roll Tide walking through the streets of Italia. That's how things go with Nick Saban and Miss Terry. He's Scott Wetzel. I am Ben Stevens. That does it for today on Football Full Circle, all a part of the Sports Grid Radio Network. And keep it locked right here because the Money Line is up next.